Kids need wholesome snacks to fuel their bodies and imaginations, like the delicious soft-bake organic Clif Kid Z-Bar. With 10 grams of whole grains, it was made for active kids like mine. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm on stopwatch duty for the backyard obstacle course. Grab a box of Clif Kid Z-Bar snacks for playtime anytime.
This is a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.
Hello, welcome to Activity Quest, the podcast all about getting out and about. I'm your host, Connor, and in this episode, I'm off to play some bowling, one of my favourite things to do. I'm heading to Tenpin in Gloucester to knock down some pins, plus producer Adam chats to bowling enthusiast Helen to find out about the rules. Activity Quest listener Delilah is chatting to a hula hoop instructor. We're finding out how you can go hula hooping and what you might need to get started. I'm thinking a hula hoop may help. George is taking us on a tour around the UK and giving us loads of things to do, including paying a visit to the UK's largest aquarium and how you can help build a miniature cathedral from Lego. Exciting. Then Anna Louise is here. We're visiting the mini Motley farm to find out what's happening as we creep closer to autumn. So every week on Activity Quest, we get out and about and find out what's happening near you. This week, it was my turn. Take a listen. Hello, it's Connor and I'm here at Tenpin in Gloucester. It's a bowling alley and arcade and I'm here to play some bowling and see what else they've got on offer. It's very exciting. Let's go.
I've got two of you two games.
Yes.
Yeah. Perfect. Can I get the names for you, lovely, that you want on the lane? Lane 21 for you guys, just up that end there.
So step one is to check in. You just show your reservation on your phone and then you find your lane and the fun starts. There are over 20 lanes at Tenpin in Gloucester. I know that because I was on lane 21. So they're spacing them out at the moment too, so it's really important you book before you visit. Now, I like to think I'm a good bowler. It's a pretty simple game, so perfect for me. You grab the ball you want to use, hurl it down the lane and knock over a bunch of pins at the end. You want to try to get a strike. That is when you knock down every single one of the pins. Now, Helen is a keen bowler and producer Adam's chatting to her to find out the rules of the game.
Hi, my name's Helen. I love Tenpin bowling and I once bowled in the Bowling World Cup.
Helen, let's assume I've never played a game of bowling before. I'm quite competitive. I want to win. How do I do that? What do I need to do? How do I play?
The aim of the game in bowling, it's very simple. 10 pins at the bottom of the lane. And the aim of the game is to knock down as many of those pins as you can at a time. Ideally, you want to get all 10 down at once. That's a strike. And the aim of the game is to get the highest score you can and hopefully beat your opponent.
Helen, how does scoring work? Do you know the maximum score at all?
The maximum score is 300. And that is 12 strikes in a row. I've had 299 five times.
Oh, so close. So close.
One day.
Helen, we were asked when we went to Tenpin in Gloucester whether we should have barriers up. For listeners who don't know, there is a gutter either side of the bowling alley that your ball can fall in. And if it does, you knock over no pins. So you score zero. There are barrier options available. So it just pops a little barrier up either side, which means your ball can't fall in. What's your stance on that? What's your take? I know you're a professional bowler. Barriers, should people use them? Should they not?
I started bowling when I was 8 years old, so I was quite young. And I remember when I started bowling at our local youth bowling club, I was expecting to be able to use the barriers, but we were never allowed to. We were thrown in the deep end straight away. No barriers. I know some youth bowling clubs do use them to encourage people, as it can be quite demoralising when you're learning to keep missing. I remember one very famous game when I was young. I only got a total of 8 for the entire game as everything went in the gutter. But generally in competition, we wouldn't use barriers, although they are a good learning tool.
And how do we pick the right ball? I know, because that's very important. They come out of what I like to call the ball machine in the middle of two lanes. What's the process behind picking your ball? How do you know you've got the right one?
Indeed, the ball machine, as you call it, is known as the ball return. So when you're choosing a ball, obviously you want it to be comfortable for your hand size. You don't want to feel like your hands are overstretched. But you don't want to use something that's too heavy. You don't want to use something that's too light either.
And what about bowling stance? I am a fan of a sort of half kind of run up to the lane and just kind of throw the ball down. Is that correct? Should you stand instead?
Well, there's all sorts of different techniques now that people use. Generally, you stand on the approach. You've got your fingers in the bowling ball. So you've got a hole for your thumb. And then there's two finger holes, and you're using your middle two fingers. It's quite surprising the number of people who use the wrong fingers, but middle two fingers and the thumb in the holes of the bowling ball. You're then turning your arm, turning your wrist, so the bowling ball is resting in the palm of your hand. Use your opposite hand to sort of take the weight of the bowling ball, and then you're walking up to the foul line, and as you're walking, you are letting the ball drop and swing behind you and then releasing it and following through.
Okay, so we're one game down and I'm doing pretty well. We booked two games and you can book even more. I always find two just isn't enough. I always want to pay like three or four, so you can book as many as you want. I'm with one other person, but you can take up to six people to a lane. It's perfect for something like a birthday party or other celebrations or even just some fun family time. There's even food here too, which you can order on an app. And an arcade, ordering food on an app. Oh, it's a dream while you're playing bowling. So everyone at Tenpin was really busy checking people in and making sure that everyone was having fun and it was super safe. We did ask them some questions though, and they got back to us after our visit. Rebecca.
Hello.
He's voicing them. Tell us about safety.
Well, we're cleaning all of the balls, benches and ramps in between visits just to keep everybody as safe as possible at the moment. We also ask that you wear a face covering as you're bowling and as you're in the arcade as well. And people are wearing their own shoes too, so make sure you're wearing flat shoes and nothing too chunky over the heel.
And that killer question though, where do all of the pins go when you knock them over? I've always wondered, do they like fall down the back of the lane?
I've heard that some people say there are Oompa Loompas behind there putting them back, or that there's an octopus with all its eight arms doing the work. And it's not too far from that, actually. So each pin has got a string, a tiny string attached to it, and it yoinks it back up into position before somebody has their next go. And then the ball, once it hits the end of the lane, it travels underground, you can't see it, but it's very quickly flung back to you so the next person can go to.
A massive thank you to Tenpin for letting me come down. Such good fun. I really enjoyed my time there. That was the one in Gloucester, but there's venues across the UK. Tenpin.co.uk is the place to book and find out more. So if you try anything we mention on Activity Quest, do tell us. You can do that by leaving a 5-star review. Here are some people who have done just that. So Maisie on Apple Podcasts says, I made crystals like Dan in last week's episode. I made them blue, white and red. Can we make the next emoji a unicorn? Because me and my best friend forever, Savannah, are having a sleepover and they're her favourite creature. Are they a creature or are they an animal? It's a good question, that. And Llama Turtle says, amazing podcast, to the point, and I have to agree. So lots of you left bee emojis from the week before last, and loads left us back to school themed emojis this week. I can see the books and pencils now. So okay, Maisie, I'm with you. This week, we want unicorns. 5-star reviews and unicorns in the reviews, please. That's all I ask. So remember that we want to hear what you're up to out and about, and do get in touch over at funkidslive.com/activityquest. Send us your thoughts as a video or as an audio clip, and you can upload photos too. We might use them in future episodes. We really want to see what you're up to. So last week we heard from Libby. She spoke to RNLI Lifeguard about how to stay safe on the beach. And this week we're hearing from Delilah. Delilah's a keen hula hooper. Here she is chatting to her instructor.
Hi Activity Quest, my name's Delilah and I have been hula hooping. This is my teacher.
Hi, I'm Bean. I'm the hula hoop teacher.
What made you start hula hooping?
First of all, I started to get fit and after I had my daughter, I wanted to get back into shape. But then I learned that you could do loads of really cool tricks and I fell in love. So, yeah, and I've been addicted ever since.
What's the coolest trick you can do?
The box, which is when I have one hoop on my hand sticking up in the air, the other hoop out the side or my hand sticking out, and then one on my knee and the other one on my foot, my foot sticking up in the air. That's called the box.
How long did it take you to be able to do it?
Too long. Months and months and months. Maybe a year, maybe longer.
What's the best bit of advice that you would give for a new hula hooper?
Practice makes progress and don't compare yourself to anyone else. You'll get there eventually.
What do you need to be able to hula hoop?
A hoop. That's it. For adults, for hula hooping, it's always good to make sure you don't get a child's hoop. You get a hoop for an adult, and it should come to at least above your belly button when you begin. Children's hoops can be a little bit more, can be smaller, but usually bigger is better to when you're starting out.
Thanks, Delilah. Excellent stuff. funkidslive.com/activityquest is the place to send stuff you've been up to, and we might include it in a future episode. So do get in touch. We really, really would love to see what you've been up to. Right, it's time to find out what's on elsewhere. George?
St Fagan's Museum of History is the top thing to do if you're in Cardiff. You get to walk around Wales from Celtic times to the present day. You'll find out how they used to make stuff in ye old times and find out how people lived. St Fagan's is an open-air museum, so dress for the weather. A visit takes about 3 hours. They're open 9am to 5pm. museum.wales/St Fagan's is the place to go. Tickets are released every Wednesday for the following week. Exeter Cathedral is one of the oldest cathedrals in England. It's located in the centre of the city. There has been a cathedral on the site for nearly 1,000 years. There are guided tours almost every week, so make sure you check the schedule of events at exeter-cathedral.org.uk. Right now, they're trying to build a Lego version of the cathedral too. They're calling it the Big Lego Build, and you can help them out. That's open Monday to Thursday, although the times do vary, so check before you travel. And the National Marine Aquarium is the UK's largest aquarium, located in Plymouth. It's run by the Ocean Conservation Trust, a charity dedicated to connecting people with the ocean. You can find out about jellyfish and seahorses, and you even finish in the Great Barrier Reef. A family of four is £59. Book at nationalaquarium.co.uk.
So, of course, there are still things you can do at home if you can't get out and about just yet. A little idea for you. Why don't you create a homemade band with homemade things? So I'm talking pots and pans. You can somehow make a guitar. You could even hit the sofa to create a beat. But what we want to do is hear it. So all you need to do is record it and send it our way. Now, the best bit about this, if you do this and it sounds excellent, we will use it as the theme tune for one of our episodes on Activity Quest. That simple. So you could create the brand new theme music to Activity Quest. So do get involved, make yourself a band and send it straight over to us. Right, it's time to go down onto the farm with Anna Louise now. She has 100 rescue rare breed and homebred animals on Mini Motley Farm. Everything from miniature horses to miniature sheep, mini chickens and more. I love the fact that it's all miniature. Let's find out what she's been up to today as we look towards autumn.
It's a beautiful day. The sun is shining down already. It's early and I've come outside because something super exciting is happening. Late last night, I noticed that our guinea fowl, called Pearl, was not in her normal roosting spot. Now, if you've never heard of a guinea fowl before and you don't know what that is, it's a type of poultry, it's a bird, and they look very different to chickens. They have got plump round bodies with bright colouring. Their faces are very scaly, and it looks like they've got hard skin all over their face. They've got something called a wattle that is bright red that hangs around their beak, and they've got a helmet that is part of their head. It's a hard bit of skin that is shaped like a hat and it sits right on the top of their head. They look a bit like dinosaurs. They've got big eyes, they're very alert, they notice everything and anything around the garden. They're very observant, they know anything that changes, they can spot an intruder, and they are known as guard birds, because they patrol the land and they protect the chickens from predators like foxes and herons. They alert us with a screeching sound when anything is different so that we can come running out and protect them and protect the chickens. And Pearl, our female guinea fowl, wasn't in her tree. They all sleep at night at the top of a pine tree, which is right next to our stream. And they've got a particular branch that they all fly up to really high in the tree late at night, so they are safe from the foxes. They don't sleep in an enclosure. They are very wild, and they actually all jump one at a time, like a military operation. They all hop onto the chicken coops and they launch like a launch pad, like a rocket, up into the air to the top of the tree. But I noticed that Pearl wasn't there last night, and that's because she is in here. She's in our hay store, which is a bright pink, handmade wooden contraption where we keep our hay supplies to feed the rabbits and the guinea pigs and the chickens, and to cozy up their enclosures for cleaning out day. We've got our stacks of hay, and it's a really pretty little hut with a triangle roof, and it's covered in moss. It's bright pink and white, and it's got a little door, and she has managed to sneak in, creep in through the open door, snuggle in the hay, and without us knowing, she has been laying her eggs sneakily, tucking them away, hiding them in amongst the hay and the straw, and she's built herself a nest, and she's sitting tight, which means in 1 month's time, 28 days to be precise, we are going to have baby guinea fowl called Keats wandering around. And this is so exciting because we have tried to breed guinea fowl for a couple of years with no success, because guinea fowl usually go broody, which means they sit on their nest and they heat up their eggs. They normally build their nests in bushes and in shrubbery and on the ground and in long grass. And every time we've had a guinea fowl that's built a nest and sat on the eggs, a predator has pushed them off the nest and stolen the eggs. Last time it was a fox, and we had a big rescue mission to save the guinea fowl from the fox, which we did. This time, she's been wise. She's learnt from her mistakes. She's learnt that the sneaky, creepy fox is going to find her in the bushes, and she has found this beautiful place to build a nest in our hay store, and she is safe. So late last night, because the door doesn't quite close, we barricaded the hay store with chairs and benches so that the fox can't get in and can't prise the door open or try and dig into the door, because it's a very old clunky hay store. We don't want the fox getting in. So she's well and truly safe, and every morning we are now going to have to do what I'm doing right this minute, which is pulling the bench off, pulling the chairs back, untying the string that we've added, and opening up the door so that she can come out. Hello. So that she can come out, stretch her legs, have some drink of water and food. Because every hen needs a break from her eggs, even when she's keeping them warm and developing those chicks. And Gloria the chicken is having a look in, saying, "What are you doing in there? I want to lay my egg." Gloria, she doesn't want you nosying in. She doesn't want visitors, thank you very much. Out. And Dev, which is her boyfriend, comes and visits her. I've been watching him this morning. He sits on the bench outside the hay store and keeps a watchful eye over her, and he brings her food and he talks to her and he makes sure that she's okay. They are the ultimate love story, and soon they're gonna have a little family. I'll keep you posted.
Thanks, Anna Louise. All right, that's all we've got time for today. So tell us what you're getting up to over at funkidslive.com/activityquest. And remember to rate, review and subscribe wherever you're listening to this. I've been Connor, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
So that was a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.